Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson, and today's message is entitled, The Diet. If you notice, we made a graphic with a key. Yes, a diet is a very key instrument in not only life, this life, but eternal life. Diet is very important. We know that Mama Tayeg is not going to be very strict with her diet tomorrow as she eats her very well-deserved cake. So we like to say to her, on behalf of the whole church family, happy birthday, Mama Tayeg. We wish you a wonderful time, and we hope that you'll be able, by via Zoom, seeing all your children and grandchildren, the rest of the family. Happy birthday. Now, talking about diet is something that, especially in the month of January, we hear about diet a lot because people make their resolutions, and diet is always part of someone's resolution. But at the end of the month, the beginning of February, some people already gave up their diet. And they go back to the old habits. Here are some expressions, some words, diet-related expressions and words that we hear and we are well-known, and they are repeated on television, the news, and everywhere. Some people try to get related to them, and some people try to avoid them. They are clean eating, unclean food, processed foods, and one that is very common, junk food. There are good food and there are bad food. There are guilt pleasure or guilt free foods. Or we like to talk about willpower, exercise, fitness, weight loss, calories. You know the word calories, calor, that's the word that means heat. Calories is means energy. Fat, low carb, detoxing, and the list goes on and on. A very heavy list. Among the lists of the words that we use when we talk about diet is the word, a very strange word, sedentary, which means it's come from Latin and it means sitting. In our society today, we find ourselves increasingly in need to understand the consequences of a sedentary behavior, which describe our tendency to sit down and stare at the screen all day long, doing nothing else but just sitting there. And the only exercise we do is to push the button on the remote sometimes or to grab junk food to eat. Scientists have recently warned that a sedentary lifestyle like this one that we just mentioned may be as dangerous to our health. Get this. As dangerous to our health as smoking is. And you know, where there is smoking, there is always fire. Something is being burned. In this case, is your health. The calories that you're supposed to use wisely is actually burning. The U.S. Social Security Administration defines sedentary workers as those who spend the majority of their time sitting down while on the job, even though does not require a lot of physical activity. This works is are expected to be mentally focused. Sometimes we hear some kids playing video games sitting for hours and hours. They are connected to the screen and they are burning calories, but they are not exercising. Daily exercise for the no athletic type of individuals Here we have a humorous list of how to burn calorie, even though you don't have to move a lot. So here is a secret of how you can burn some calories with some activities that I would like to name only eight. I had a list of 20, but I cut it down to eight. Here are the number of calories that you can burn per hour if you practice those activities. Number one, beating around the bush, 75 calories per hour. Number two, jumping to conclusions. Oh, this jumping burns 100 calories per hour. But there is one that you have to make a lot of effort, and that is swallowing your pride. Oh, that takes 450 calories per hour. What about running around in circles? 350 calories per hour. Oh, what about passing the buck? 25 calories. Oh, there is one that is interesting. Throwing your weight around. Of course, that depends how heavy you are. It can be between 50 to 300. What about the one that says adding fuel to the fire? 150 calories. And finally, open a can of worms. 50 calories. Yes, my brothers and sisters, there is humor on this, but you know, the fact is, everything that we do in life, we're either burning our calories or we are burning our health. There are many diet excuses. For today, for the sake of time, we chose only two. Diet excuses. Here's one of them. If one sees you eat it, if no one sees you eat it, it has no calories. Number two, calories don't count if you had to work hard to get them. Yeah, we wish. Now, brothers and sisters, diet can be about what we do eat or what is eating us. Let me explain. When people are in a very bad mood, usually we used to ask them, what is eating you? This is as an expression that is equivalent to what is bugging you, what is annoying you, what is bothering you. This expression, what is eating you, it comes from the late 1800s. And we use the word eat in a sense of consume. So basically what a person is saying is, something is consuming your thoughts. Something is consuming your time or your energy. We are living a time when it is becoming harder to live on a consistent, godly, biblical diet. And I will define later on what the godly, biblical diet is. The conflict between God and the evil one, right and wrong, has come to a very high intensity. Since our first parents, Adam and Eve, adopt the what I call DD diet, which is deceptive devil's diet, deceptions and its consequences have plagued our world. Disease have multiplied because the way people do not take care of their health. They have become more numerous and dangerously more normal. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says that God told this to our first parents right after create them. He said, look, I have put before you seed-bearing plants throughout the whole earth and all the fruit trees, and they will be for you as food. That is going to be your diet. That is going to be what will give you the energy that you need to live. That's what is going to maintain, sustain life. Brothers and sisters, knowledge and feelings are to our mind as energy is to our body. Just like our bodies must have energy to function and to function well, our minds must have knowledge and feelings to keep it going in the right direction with the right purpose. When our body needs the energy, we consume food, liquids, and even air is part of the supply our bodies with energy. But when our minds need knowledge and feelings, where do we go? How do we feed it? When feelings, our body, when feeding our body, we may choose healthy food, or we may choose junk food. Both will, in the short run, produce energy. But healthy food provides the right kind of energy that we need. It enhances the operation of our body complex systems. Yes, good food strengthens our immune system, and it is resilient against disease. It's the protection that we need. It's the medicine that we need. It's good food. It increases how long our life will be. Junk food, on the other hand, has essentially the opposite effect in all these areas, and it contributes to the weakening of our body over time. Our body becomes a paradise for parasites, for all kind of virus and diseases when we don't feed our immune system well. Similarly, there are healthy biblical teachings applying to the spiritual aspect of it, and there are also junk man-made teachings. Both will, in a short run, produce also energy, positive energy and negative energy. But healthy biblical teachings provide divine energy to sustain the life of the body of Christ. Many churches claim to be the body of Christ, but they eat junk man-made teachings. The only one that is really the true body of Christ are those that eat the health biblical teachings that comes to us from the body, from the Word of God. Junk made teachings prove ultimately to be toxic and will lead to eternal death of those who allow themselves to be deceived by the taste of the devil's spices. Both physical and spiritual nutrition must be of vital importance to all of us, brothers and sisters. We always become what we eat. Yes, let's make sure that we understand this. We always become what we eat. We must give serious thought about what we are feeding our bodies with, what we're feeding our minds with, because not only this life is at stake, but eternal life as well. Satan is very knowledgeable. You better believe. Satan is very knowledgeable of how to manipulate our appetites. That is why, like junk food, his junk teachings are everywhere. And they always come with a Roman flavor added to them, if you know what I mean. They are heavily promoted. Notice, they are everywhere. They promise earthly satisfaction. They are attractive. They are well packaged. Tasty. Not rich, but tasty. Convenient. And they have a particular attraction when you are very hungry. They deliver fake energy under a fake label. and they ruin our appetite for the truth. They destroy our body and our mind. A junk teaching diet is very addictive because it is a satanic deadly drug. It destroys our desire for the truth and it numbs our ability to hear the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we turn our televisions, especially on Sunday, and we hear this nice package being delivered to us. In the beginning, it seems to be tasting delicious, and people are eating that stuff, but they don't realize that this is just junk teaching that eventually will ruin your ability to know the truth when the truth is right beside your eyes. You eat just a tiny little bit of junk food and you start destroying your diet little by little. Satan tried to trick Jesus into doubt and to look to the physical instead of the spiritual. And he tempted Jesus and he told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, turn those rocks into bread, into food, and you don't need to go on being hungry anymore. But Jesus turned to him and he said, a person should not live by bread alone, but for every word that comes from God. God has made his holy book the storehouse of nourishment. Living his spiritual food for all his beloved and redeemed saints can be found in this holy place called the Holy Bible. It is stocked with full of promises, and he invites us to come and eat for free. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Our minds are designed to be nourished by God's precious and very great promises. If you read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation, which says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. The good news is, my brother and sister, that we can change. We can change for better. We can change our diet to look like God's healthy diet. And now let me define what is God's healthy diet. It is composed of three parts, just like the Trinity. It is the spiritual, the mental, and the physical. It is vital to our ultimate living. Trying to eat well for the sake of our body health has valuable lessons. And one of these lessons is that our taste preferences can be changed. It takes time for us to make it bad. It takes time for us to make it good. The encouragement that we receive from the scriptures, it comes from Paul, Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word strength comes from energy and can do action. Christ enables me. He gives us the strength that we need to do anything that is necessary to be done. So when you're ready to change, when you're ready to go back to God's health diet, Christ will stand before you, with you, and will strengthen you to accomplish it. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it's also Paul who gives that advice to all of us that claim to be God's people. He says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should not become disqualified. It is very sad when people who claim to be a biblical Christians, they eat like they worship food. They eat like they don't want to live. They eat to almost like to die. They use food almost like a weapon. And they don't represent well what God teaches about how should we eat, how should we live. Our tastes are conditioned by habits and wrong choices we make in determining what is food. What many people call food is not food at all, it's just junk. Like eating healthy food, craving for God's bread of life requires more work on shaping our desires. God will create in us new eating habits if only we allow Him to shape our desires according to His divine diet. If we have become conditioned to heavily processed, sugary, empty carb junk, artificially engineered to be addictive and destructive, intoxicating, we may find the taste and texture of true food less enjoyable at first, but then, if we allow our God to mold our appetite, we can restore what God's intent was in the beginning. Chances are, there are times when you know better, but you choose to eat the unhealthy junk anyway. There is always consequence. The only way for us to break free from the bad habit of eating junk food, trash, is cultivating a taste for the rich, nourishing, long-lasting, deep-satisfying God's diet. It takes eating health food to develop the taste for healthy food. We must be patient. It takes time to slave oneself to the bad habit. So, it also takes time to become free of such a tyrant. Old tastes do not diminish, and new tastes are not acquired overnight. As we come closer to the bread of life, our physical, mental, and spiritual appetite will be changed. As we press on, brothers and sisters, God will meet us and help us, as the scripture says, taste and see that He is good. Psalms 34, verse 8, first part. It is Jesus Himself who tells us in John 6, 35, New Century Version, He says, I am the bread that gives life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We must approach the bread of life if we are hungry, and we'll never be hungry again. If we approach the living water, we'll never be thirsty again. Some people sometimes take things to an extreme. I have seen people that on the Sabbath day, when the only exercise they should have been is open the Bible, walking to help others, they are there outside running, doing their exercise. They are so addicted to exercise, they're going to another extreme. We cannot make exercise an act of worship. Isaiah 58:13 says clearly that we should not have our own words, our own interests on the Sabbath day. There is time for everything under the sun. Exercise as a physical for fitness should not be a Sabbath activity. We should not be preoccupied with our bodies in a sense of exercising on the Sabbath when we have 6 days to do so. But this is what the Bible says. It's our scripture for today. I'm reading from the Good News Translation. Physical exercise has some value. Of course it does. but a spiritual exercise is valuable in every way because it promises life both for the present and for the future. The only exercise that we should be using in worship on the Sabbath, we should be preoccupied, is the spiritual exercise. It is the day that we should exercise very well in the spiritual sense of the word. And then, what about worshiping food? Oh yes, there are people who worship food. When do people worship food? When do people put food over God? One simple example is when God says, do not eat this, and people says, oh, but I like it, I will eat anyway. Or some, when people haven't created, using even the Bible to lie about food, says, oh, Jesus made all foods clean now, you can eat whatever you want. Sadly, I have heard even people who claim to be Seventh-day Adventists saying that whatever we eat doesn't matter. It's just food. What is the big deal? Some may say. When people make the food the Lord of their lives by turning food into an idol, they are controlled by what they eat. They don't eat. They don't control what they eat. They are controlled by what they eat. Some people say, I'm not hurting anybody else by eating. I'm just hurting myself or even affect my own self. This is what Proverbs 25, verse 16, and New King James says. Have you found honey? Eat only what you need, that you not have to in excess and end up vomiting, throwing up. What this has to do with what we just said? If you didn't get it, I'm going to repeat. Eat only what you need. The problem in the world today, especially in developing nations, we eat too much. We eat so much that we eat for ourselves and we eat what is supposed to be for somebody else. That's why in some part of the world people are eating too much. In many parts of the world people are dying because they have nothing to eat. There are more food thrown in the trash in the United States than food that is, you know, the amount of food that's thrown in the trash in the United States could be sufficient to feed many countries around the world. We not only eat junk, but we throw a lot of good food in the trash. Sometimes we trash our own lives with all this junk food that we consume. If you want to find a list of the meats that we should not even touch, you'll find that in Leviticus 11, chapter 11, verse 1 to 44. We will address this in another time. But you can read this afternoon, Leviticus 11, verse 1, all the way to 44. And the thing is, my brothers and sisters, as biblical followers of Christ, we have to see beyond our plate. Sometimes people put such a big plate in front of them, and the pile in the plate is so high they don't see anything else but just the food. We must not dig our own grave with our own fork. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, New Living Translation, Paul says, they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. They don't think about anything else. They are selfish, and they worship what they eat. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, New Living Translation as well, it says, don't you realize, my brothers and sisters, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not a place for junk. only what is holy is supposed to be in God's temple. Who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourselves. You don't have the right to destroy this temple. It is not yours. John 4:34 says, New King James, Jesus said this to all of us, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This should be what in the mind of every follower of Christ, our food is to do the will of the one who sent, who created, who has redeemed us to do his work, to finish his work. John 6:27, New King James, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Matthew 5:6, New King James says, blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, there is one text in the Bible that sums up everything, and that is in 1 Corinthians 10:31. I'm reading from New King James Version. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whether you do whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. At this time, I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to close this message with a prayer. This prayer is like, let's pretend that we are all in the same place and we are about to eat together the healthy, very healthy food that is on the table, ready to be consumed right after this message, right after this service. So I'd like to pray for your food today. I'd like for us to have a prayer for all every house, every place where right after the message, after service, you set the table and you eat. So I'll pray like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for your diet. Thank you for your teachings. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the food that our body will take. Bless the hands that you use to earn it. Bless the hands that you use to prepare it. You are so good to us, always showering us with your abundant provisions. You help us to get and to receive this blessed meal that you provide us. Allow this meal to care for our body as well, and allow us to understand that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Reminds us to turn to you to fill our heart instead of our stomach. Help us to understand and to be passionate about the purpose of you in our lives. Allow us, Lord, to serve others as you so kindly have given your life in our behalf. Help us to glorify you in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and especially in our eating. We love you and we thank you for everything that you provide us, for the spiritual food of this morning, and for every other food that we may take. I pray you in the name of the bread of life, Jesus Christ himself. Amen.
Amen. At this time, we will have the hymn of affirmation. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Danya Tayag. Hymn number 524, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
But now being made free from sin and have become servants of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. Here at Vista, it is our mission, and I hope that everyone around this whole country that is partaking is being part of our service here in Vista, adopt the same mission that we have. It is to put God first, to serve others, and to make disciples. In short, the first initials will form God also, godly ordained discipleship. Please bow your heads for the benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord feed you. May the Lord sustain you. May the Lord be the energy that moves you. May the Lord guide your mind to make right choices. May the Lord be always the first in your life. In the name of Christ, we ask those blessings upon you. Amen.
Amen.